See if this works. Good morning, church family. Once again, my name is Noah, and I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to read Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 45. Can't be perfect. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, and they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing that what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter.
So looking at Mark chapter 1, 35 to 45, as Noah read. Looking at Mark through this season of Lent. Lent is a liturgical season, time to help us prepare for the Easter truth and the Easter story. What does that mean for us? And we'll note that there's two themes here linked. Theme of prayer, and also the theme of compassion. So how do they roll together? I had a quote in the sermon last week, which I skipped over because of time, but I like it, so I want to begin with it as we start. Quote by Donald English. "For us, as for the earliest disciples, Jesus will always be walking ahead. The journey of faith is always like that, with new truth to learn, new skills to develop, new experiences to go through, new closeness to God. Jesus always walking ahead." That image does not always take us through pleasant country, but the goal of the realization of the kingdom is fixed, and we know that ahead of us are the footsteps of Christ, and around us is the community of his people. Jesus always going ahead. So, you know, I think that's a good image because we're not thinking about Jesus as an historical figure here, right? We know that Christ lived. There's lots of historical documents that demonstrate that. Josephus wrote it in the time. So Jesus is not just an historical figure, but he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, sent for us that we might know what God is like. If we want to know God, then we look at the face of Jesus. And Jesus is always going ahead. He died, he rose, he ascended, he goes before you and me. That's a very important image in truth. So can we reflect through this Lenten season that Jesus goes ahead before you, before me, whatever the vicissitudes of life are going on in our lives right now, all the troubles. Does not always take us through pleasant country, Donald English writes. It's quite true, right? So Jesus going ahead before you, before me, what is he calling, what is he saying to you and to me in our lives right now? That's what we want to hear and think about in this season of Lent. So in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Remember that Mark The mentor for Mark is Peter. The Gospel of Mark is the first gospel, written just not that many years after Christ died, rose again. Comes very early to us. Peter is the source. Mark is writing. Mark will be mentioned in this text. Simon Peter. So in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. So it's about prayer. The Jewish community, early morning prayer was part of their tradition. It was a practice. So we just have a couple of Psalms. We read part of it this morning. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. Psalm 5. Psalm 88. But I, O Lord, cry out to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. So a good Jew in the time of Christ was praying a number of times per day, and one of the times was in the morning. So this is the practice of Jesus. It doesn't have to be your practice, but we follow Christ, and this is what Christ did. Jesus prayed. Note that. It's interesting, in the Greek languages, there are a lot more tenses that we have than in English. And there are different past tenses. And this tense here is called the imperfect tense. And what that means, it's a past action that was continued. That was his practice. Jesus prayed. It could have been Jesus prayed once off. That's it. He prayed. Or he prayed. That was his habit. That's what's going on here. So it's a little sign that this was the habit of Christ. He got up early in the morning, regularly. He would seek out a place of solitude. This is coming from the area of Capernaum. Well, Capernaum was a town, good-sized town, and there were lots of people living around the lake, so he had to search out a place of solitude. He didn't have a room of his own. He had to seek it out. So Jesus gets up early in the morning. The text emphasizes while it was still very dark, so it's before sunrise. Sunrise, Middle East, that latitude, more or less 6 in the morning, pretty early. He gets up before that, and he goes and seeks a place to pray, to have conversation with God. So this is Jesus, a model for you and for me. So we have a rhythm of work, of rest, of prayer, of balance. It's not a bad model, is it? Balanced life. Can we have that? Not a hectic life. Interesting, in our culture, if you're a workaholic, people will often applaud you for that. They'll say, oh my, this person works so hard. They're always working. I want to be like that. I want to work, 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 work. That wasn't Jesus' model. Being a workaholic is an addiction. It's being overcommitted to whatever it might be. And Jesus took the time to go to parties, took the time to have fun with friends. We're told that, right? But he also took time to pray. So it just reminds us, balance is a good thing. Balance in your life, my life, work, rest, prayer. Can we balance those things in our lives? Does prayer even take part in your life? That's a question in my life. Is prayer there? Or is it all work or all rest? What about prayer? So a rhythm to life. This is Jesus' model here. So Mark writes for us. And Simon, who is Peter, and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is searching for you. So this is on the heels of Jesus doing a lot of miracles in Capernaum, and people are very excited about it. Like his star is rising. And Peter, with his strategies in mind, wakes up and Jesus is not around. And he's saying, man, where is Jesus? He's always running off and doing stuff. He should be up right now, out there meeting everybody, healing more people, becoming more and more popular. His star is rising. Where is he? So he goes off searching, and it's an intensive word there. He's seeking Jesus. Jesus is out praying somewhere, and he's intent to go find him. So that's what he does. And he finds him finally, and he says, "Everyone is searching for you." And the intent there is like, come on, man, let's get back and let's do it. Everyone is searching for you. But Jesus' response is not like that. He's committed to his task. So his response is this: no, let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. We could consider that little phrase, for that is what I came out to do. His mission, baptized in the Jordan, and now he's out to engage his mission. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. His response is, no, we're going to move on. We're going to keep traveling throughout Galilee. We're going to visit the synagogues. I'm going to preach the word. That's what I am called to do. Yes, I will heal people as we go, but my true and deepest mission is I need to proclaim God's word. And God's word is what? The kingdom of God is drawing near to you. Wake up! That's what he's told. That is right after the baptism. Hey, this is the word. Wake up to what's true, what's real. Don't fall asleep. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, there aren't really that many references to prayer, but there are three. And the three times we're told that Jesus prays. Jesus also will talk about the need for prayer in a variety of other occasions. But when Jesus actually prays, each of the times are before something significant. Some sort of decisive time, Jesus prays. So in this spot, in Capernaum, all the people are excited. He's still determining what is going to be the focus of his ministry. He goes off and he prays. Simon comes to him, come on, man, we got to get back. He says, no, time out. I'm not doing that. And I'm sure the disciples weren't happy. I'm sure Peter wasn't happy about that. Didn't fit. Let's go back and then move out from Capernaum as a star. So decisive points. What about in your life? We have those moments, don't we have those moments? Kairos times, special times, for whatever reason. Do we pray before them? Do we engage that? Meaning, do you have conversation with God? Whatever way that might be for you. Or do you just kind of go do it? Jesus' model, and Jesus, who knew a lot about God, obviously, he still determines that he needs to go to Abba and pray to the Father to speak, to hear, to listen. So there's something in that for you and for me. That's what Jesus does here in this situation. So what is prayer then for us? I would suggest three things. One, it is a time for self-reflection. Meaning, it's a time for you to look in. It's a time to pause. It's a time to pause from all the hurry and all the upset. Be quiet, reflect, listen for God's voice. We need to do that. That's what prayer is. So will I take the time to do that? Seems that Jesus' pattern was he got up every morning for early prayer. That's what his rhythm was about. But for whatever it is for you and me, a time for self-reflection. Not only that, it's a time to fill up the well. Sharon Gernon was a counselor. Sharon was with us for a number of years. They now live down in Quebec, in Gatineau, where their kids are. By the way, Bob Gernon's daughter struggled with cancer for over 10 years. And eventually, she was healed through many surgeries. She was healed. She's healed right now, clear of cancer. We all go through our journeys. You remember Bob. Well, Bob moved down to Gatineau, and he's had his challenges, man. Just like you and me. But Sharon was a counselor, and she used to say with prayer, you need to fill up. She would use the example of a bucket. Your bucket or your well keeps getting drawn down. The life is tough, and the well goes down, 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 down. And after a while, you can hardly get any water down there. You got to fill it back up. I've always remembered that with her. Fill it up, man. Fill it up. Prayer's about filling it up. Here's a quote. William Barclay actually quotes someone else here, but I like that. Not to pray is to be guilty of the incredible folly of ignoring the possibility of adding God to our resources. Why would we not want to do that? I think it's a good thing to do that. We need it. So it's a time for self-reflection. It's a time to fill up the well of your life. Do you need to fill up the well of your life? Probably. I need to fill up mine, man. Fill it up. Then thirdly, it's time to re-energize and focus forward. Jesus is with us. Abba is with us. There's power with us. We need to re-energize. Take your batteries out and get them recharged. We need to do that. Now, prayer is more than those things, but it is about that, I think. Conversation with God. There is a creator of the universe. He has created you. You are his piece of art. He wants to be in communion with you. It just makes sense that it would be good for you and for me to be in touch with our Creator and Savior and know him in our lives. It just makes total sense. But frequently we don't do it. For whatever reason, we don't do it. So Jesus' ministry was about preaching. Word there is kerygma, keruso, which is to preach, to proclaim. That's what fundamentally Christ was about, proclaiming. In the synagogues, by the way, he wasn't out there preaching on the streets. Not to say you can't do that, but that wasn't his model. He went to the synagogues. Every city, every town had a synagogue. That's where he went. And he sat down in the seat of teaching and he taught. That's where he went. And then he went out from there. And he cast out demons, the text says. That's an interesting, isn't it? So my question to you and to me is, what demon does Christ need to cast out in your life? Jesus. My life. What are the demons today? Lots of demons. Call them what you want. Our own desires, our own lusts, our own commitment to success. The language changes, right? But things have power, things have control in our lives. All of us. So what gets in the way? What are the hurdles, right? What are the blocks? Lent is about looking at the blocks. Lent is about considering them. How do we get rid of them? Our addictions, whatever our addictions are. So that's the first story. Prayer. In Lent, we need to be praying. We need to be praying all the time, but that's what it's about. But it's connected to the next story. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, if you choose, literally, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will. So he has confidence that Jesus can do this. Moved with pity or compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. This is a leper. And he said to him, I do will. Literally, I will. If you will, You can choose. You can heal me. Jesus' response is, I will. I will to do that. It's beautiful. I do choose, it's interpreted here, translated, be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. He's made clean. So a leper comes to Jesus. By the way, you could read two whole chapters in the book of Leviticus about leprosy. 59 verses in one, 57 in the next. Two long chapters about all the forms of leprosy. And this man comes to Jesus and kneels before him. He has already sinned. He is already screwed up. He comes to Jesus as a leper in front of him, kneels against the law. You cannot do that. Read Leviticus 13, 14. But the leper has faith. Somehow, even though I'm breaking the law, this man will receive me. So, you know, leprosy was a big deal. And Jesus, what's interesting for me here is he just transcends the whole system. He just says, enough of that. If you will, you can heal me. Jesus says, I will. So Jesus moved with compassion. Text says pity. But compassion is that word that means he's moved in his gut, right? It's a physical reaction. He really empathizes with this guy. And he shows it because he reaches out and he touches him. He breaks the law again. No, 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 you don't touch lepers. Jesus touches him. He didn't have to touch him, right? He could heal him just by a word because he does that in other places. But he reaches out and touches him. Wow. I mean, when was the last time that guy was touched? Jesus reaches out. I always remember the stories about Mother Teresa. Calcutta. And her ministry to little babies that are dying on the streets. And she just picks them up. Loves them, cares for them, touches them in a powerful, loving way. And people would ask her, well, why are you doing that? Because so many of them died. She saved all she could, right? But many died. Because they need to feel the touch of love. Really, right? So, the leper is in that situation. Jesus reaches out and touches him, identifying with him in his suffering, solidarity with him. And so, in this little story, we get the heart of Jesus. This is his heart. If you will, heal me. But healing goes way beyond just physical healing. There's healing on so many levels, right? Physical healing is just one part, important part. Emotional healing. Healing in families. Healing internationally. Man, read the papers. It's just, we're in gloomy days. Need for healing. Jesus in solidarity with the human condition. So Jesus in solidarity with you. The concerns that you have are important to Jesus. Whatever they are. Don't think that they're not. We're invited to bring them to Christ. Will we do that? Your will be done. Your will be done. You have called me higher. You have called me deeper, we were singing. problem is we often get stuck, right? We get stuck somewhere, get emotionally stuck. Figure we've got God all figured out and whatever. We know what's best for our lives. And sometimes we just have to, I don't know. This week I had a nice visit. I had a chance to get over to see Doreen Showers. I didn't realize Doreen is 98. Wow, almost a century. Woo! Doreen was telling me, you know, I'm getting tired. Getting tired. You get in these senior homes, you know, then they can do a lot for you, but you spent a lot of time alone. If you don't have to go there, don't go there, man. I'm telling you. My own dad. Dad, it'll be better for you. They'll do your meals. They'll take care of you. They'll clean your room. Yeah, in one sense. In another sense, loneliness. A lot of alone time. Even if people are connecting with you, a lot of alone time. Now, in some way, I know it's great. These services can be wonderful. I'm just saying, right? Loneliness. I'm tired. And God knows that. He knows. He knows about Doreen, knows about her needs, knows about your needs. Whatever demons have to be cast out, God knows it all. Jesus knows it all. Interesting, Jesus does say, hey man, go show yourself to the priest. Fulfill all the matters of the law. Why? Why is he doing that? Because I want you to be reintegrated into society. I want it to be official. You are healed. Go show it to yourself. Then there's a bunch of steps. But go do that, because finally you'll be reintegrated into society. Jesus is concerned for that. But he doesn't want him to go talking about it. Why? Because he doesn't want to sensationalize it. I don't want to be a star. I don't want to be known just as a wonder worker. I have come to proclaim the kingdom of God. The guy's so excited, he goes off and starts talking about it anyway. What happens? Jesus then has to spend more time out in the wilderness, because people won't leave him alone enough, right? We're all messed up. We're all screwed up. Don't do this. What does he do? I've been healed. He goes and does the exact opposite thing. He just does it. But it shows, right? It shows Jesus' heart, beautiful heart. He touches the untouchable as we close, seeking well-being and healing on all levels. Is God concerned that Putin threatens the world with nuclear weapons? I would say he is very concerned about that. Because Jesus is all about peace. So these things we hear about in the news feed, God is concerned about these things. Does God want to see the world burn up? I don't think so. He's the creator. He wants well-being. This is his desire. He touches the untouchable, all right? Second, he welcomes the marginalized. That's what we're invited to do, right? We are to be welcoming, loving. We welcome you. We may not agree with you on everything, but we welcome you, do we not? Man. My students, you know, for years, up at Tyndale, and they would go to places of compassion and have service. you know, deeds of service and so on. And I remember a number of the girls I had volunteered down at Sanctuary on Yonge Street, Yonge just south of Bloor, right? Sanctuary was a ministry to those involved in the sex industry. Yonge and Charles, okay? Can you imagine? Sanctuary is no more as such, unfortunately. But my students would say to me, I have never seen love and compassion like that, ever. People are welcomed. People are loved. I don't have to agree with you, but I welcome you and I love you. That's what our calling is, because that's what Jesus did. It can be hard. But that's what Jesus does. So I thought, you know, wherever, what we do in the future, next door, we want to be welcoming, loving. Let's just say that, right? Whatever that looks like, we want that. Not about turning people away at the door. We'll get our new buddy Tom here. Talks about a story where he was. He welcomed somebody in and folk weren't happy about that. Lectured him on it. Now he's here. Jesus welcomes the marginalized. We are to do that as well. Jesus makes the connection between prayer and compassion. Prayer and compassion. So, you know, we need to turn our hearts to God, right? And say, help me to do that. Help me to do that. Man, I'm an introvert. I like my alone time. I need to hear prayer and compassion. Get off your butt, Davy. Prayer and compassion. Show it. Be it. That's our calling. That's Jesus for us. At the same time, he lived a balanced life. So may we hear. May we hear. May we respond. May we be open to the Spirit's work in your life, my life, our life together. May we be a light. In Christ's name, amen.